Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. And with me today, John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
It's going. Yes, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, I'm glad you're here too. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Awesome.
I'm good.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. And we'll see. I have two topics I want to hit today. We'll see if we get through both.
Does one of them involve you wearing your watch band neat and submissive?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, that's just a lifestyle choice. Although it is the instruction too. And
I should probably explain that one.
All right. So I bought a watch band from AliExpress, and it's a leather loop band for my Apple Watch, 38 millimeter, which Apple does not make. And that's what I really wanted. So I could buy one shipped from AliExpress for about $20. So I did, and it showed up yesterday, and the packaging, hold on, let me grab this so I can give quotes so that people get the full effect. So on the brown box that it shipped in, it says product features, contracted design style with U-Life contracted and not simple. Genuine leather strap, make sure that when wear neat and submissive.
That's my Perfect. Favorite one, man. That was my favorite one.
Yes.
I don't even know what, you know, what they were trying to translate for that one. Like the rest of them, you can figure it out.
Yeah, kind of. But
make sure you wear neat and submissive. I'm not really sure what that means.
Maybe it was something like low key or pleasant.
Or maybe it has to do with bondage and
oh yeah, right.
Who knows? But regardless, when I wear my new 38 millimeter leather loop watch band with my Apple Watch, I must wear neat and submissive.
You could put a placard around your neck.
I could, and around here in Boulder, that would probably draw in some interesting characters. Anyhow, how about real topics? In Ireland, there's an issue that Apple is currently dealing with where people are very aggressively trying to get user logins from Apple employees. And so aggressive that they're offering employees like 20,000 euros to hand over their login credentials for Apple systems. And we don't know exactly what these people are trying to get once they get the logins. It's presumed that they're looking to get maybe like company secrets or find ways to get at personal data. Regardless, this is a big thing, and is big enough that Apple has actually had to implement their own internal training system to help make employees aware of what's happening so that they don't get tricked into handing over their credentials.
What I thought was interesting about this was that Apple credentials are not just simply a username and password. Of course, it's been quite a while since I worked for Apple, but back when I did, we used something you know, a code, and something you have, which was one of these little plastic digital fobs that displays a constantly changing 6-digit random numeric code. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do is you have to... And this fob is synchronized in time so that it's synchronized with Apple servers. And so you pull off the random 6-digit number, add it to the code that you know, and enter that as your password. And so it's very difficult to crack that without having access to the fob. So if that's what they're doing in Ireland, then the user would have to actually give up possession of the fob to the person they're selling their credentials to. And then they, in turn, would not have access to their account anymore because I couldn't read the digits off the fob. So it's a pretty difficult thing for both the seller and the buyer. And maybe that's not what they're doing nowadays, but that's just something that I thought of when I heard that story. And, of course, Apple has some pretty severe sanctions against people who give up their passwords. You know, they would probably
that was such a polite way of saying that.
Yes, they would probably take you to court after you're fired.
Probably. And even if they're not using the digital fob that you just described, I mean, this is Apple. You know they're doing something that makes it more difficult to get into someone's account, you know, just beyond, hey, give me your username and password.
Yeah, they might be something. They might be doing something really cool, like facial recognition on the FaceTime camera or something like that, which would make it even harder to sell your credentials. So I'm not quite sure what's going on here, but Apple security. I do know Apple security is very good.
Well, they could do something with iPhones also.
Yes.
Yeah, Brian, you're quiet. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking that if the story has reached us that people are offering $20,000 for login credentials, someone has sold them. Whether or not it will do them any good because of the fob is another story.
Yes. Yeah, and here's another piece to the story. The people that are typically being targeted are relatively new to the company. And are people that have made fast advances, you know, like they get in and then quickly get a promotion. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, though, that they would go for those people because those are the people that have the lowest overall loyalty or comparative loyalty to the company. Yeah, you don't go for someone that's been at Apple for 15 years and you don't go for someone that's obviously gotten into the company and has gotten in because that's where they want to stay for the rest of their career.
Right.
You go for the fast movers.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering what it is that these nefarious folks think that they can get.
Well, my guess is that they might be looking for or to conduct industrial espionage. Or it might be people that...
The folks in Ireland don't make stuff, and Apple is entirely compartmentalized.
Yes, we know that. And you would think someone willing to shell out $20,000 would know that, or 20,000 euros.
Yeah, there actually should be a slight vetting process.
One would think
when you're spending that kind of money to get these to get access to this. I mean, it being Ireland and Ireland, Apple's Irish operations being a small part manufacturing and a large part finance. Maybe they actually think they could just directly steal money, but that doesn't make any sense either.
I don't know if they're thinking directly steal money, but you're kind of dancing around the other thing I was thinking, which is that these are people or organizations that are trying to get at Apple's financial data because they're upset about the whole taxing situation.
I doubt that because they wouldn't be able to use any information gathered in that way in any kind of political or legal sense. You know,
right.
We have broken into the evil Apple's information. We stole information.
That's here the best Irish accent ever.
As Brian said, these are not keys to the kingdom. In my experience, a regular employee doesn't have access to a whole lot of information except for some technical servers with technical data and the email. And that anything that's that would be sensitive you wouldn't have access to. There's layers of access,
which makes sense. I mean, Apple is notoriously secretive, and they have been very good over the decades. At keeping their secret stuff that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not exactly like if you just get an ordinary employee's password, you're going to suddenly have access to Tim Cook's, desktop. It just doesn't happen.
Right. So I guess what it comes down to is if you are trying to get people in or Apple employees in Ireland to hand over their login credentials, save your 20,000 euros and like go on a really nice vacation instead, because it will be far more productive. Yeah.
Of course, 20,000 euros will buy you a lot of cigarettes when you're in prison.
Yeah, there is that. All right. Yeah, so business opportunity. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The other thing that I wanted to hit today is kind of a follow-up. And this goes back to yesterday's discussion about Error 53. And if you're not up to speed on Error 53 yet, then what that tells me is you haven't listened to yesterday's show yet. Why haven't you done that?
Or read any of the sites, like all over the internet. All of the sites. Everyone's talking about Area 53.
That's true. Yep. Pretty much. Yep. So the news today is that there is a law firm that is out hunting for people that are willing to participate in a class action lawsuit against Apple over Error 53. And I jumped right to that and I forgot to give people the backstory. Error 53. If your iPhone has certain key components replaced, like especially the Touch ID sensor or the cable that connects that back to your iPhone, and the iPhone is not run through the proper procedure that repairs all the components together, then your iPhone at some point is going to stop working. Like, that's it. It's over. Your iPhone is just done. And so there's a lot of people that are really upset, feeling that Apple is intentionally bricking iPhones to force people, or as a way to force people to go only to Apple stores to get repairs done, and therefore pay more money than they would if they went to a third party repair center.
Yeah, that's the part that I have no empathy for whatsoever. It's just ridiculous. The issue here is entirely security. It's obviously entirely security to me. I still have a massive problem with Apple bricking these devices without any forewarning and without any information on the screens after they're bricked, and in some cases for not taking care of them at Apple stores. This whole business with the fingerprints being stored in the secure enclave, all of that is very, very serious business, and I get why Apple is doing a check that is doing something to these phones, but I'm not down with these devices being bricked. I'm just not down with it. Not without forewarning.
Yeah, and that's
without
the big
more
thing.
Recourse.
Yeah, the lack of forewarning, the lack of communication, which is something I said yesterday, that's the really big problem. And Apple is horrible at communicating these sorts of things.
And some people are saying that they use their devices after these third-party repairs. And in some cases, these were third-party repairs where they did not have the opportunity or choice to go to Apple, mm-hmm. right? Some people are saying that they got these repairs and ran the devices for months, and then it was upgrading to iOS 9 that was a problem. Right. I'm still not sure about how that's working, but it does seem like there were some additional steps instituted in the iOS 9 boot process that are causing some of these people extra problems.
Yeah, regardless of what happened, there's been a definite upswing in Error 53 reports since iOS 9 came out.
I want to come to Apple's defense on this.
Okay.
I'm shocked.
If you're the product manager and you're talking to your engineers about various scenarios, you're in a meeting and people are going, well, if this happens, then that happens. And so what happens if we just set up a message that the users, got a problem, and some engineer says, yeah, but then the system would still be active, and then I could figure out how to, break into the phone and cough up all this information. And so the product manager, finally, after listening to all the input, says, the best thing to do, just brick the darn phone and make the user come in and get things right. And I can imagine that scenario is being rather realistic in a simple way to deal with the situation, because what happens is that if somebody figures out a way to bypass the security of the phone and somebody's information is divulged, that's a more serious issue and could damage Apple's reputation. And so the product manager has to make a decision here about what's the best course to deal with a situation given the technology tools he has available to him and what the security risks are. And maybe bricking the phone and forcing the customer to come into Apple and give up the phone and have it repaired or replaced is the only realistic scenario to preserve the security of the device.
Tell people then. By the way, when you run this, if you've had any kind of third-party repair, as a matter of fact, we're detecting a third-party repair now. If we continue with this update, your phone will be rendered useless.
Well, that's unnecessarily alarming. I mean,
It's less alarming than finding your iPhone is suddenly completely dead.
Well,
You think that someone having a phone that says Air 53 is somehow less alarming or better? Come on, man.
Well, you can't cover every scenario in the operating system that might happen, and you can't start throwing stuff out that you don't think is going to happen with a high probability.
All right. Well, I came up with an idea last night that I think would have alleviated a lot of the issues that we're dealing with now, meaning the people foaming at the mouth and wailing and gnashing teeth. And that would have been for Apple right up front when they first introduced Touch ID to say, and this has a tamper-proof feature so that if someone tries to swap out your components, that they could in some way try and steal your personal information, your phone will be rendered useless and they can't get in any of your data.
Well, not everybody's Scotty on the enterprise. You know, I don't think most customers sit around going, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm not going to watch Super Bowl. Instead, I'm going to sit down on my Mac and I'm going to explore Apple's technical notes.
You're thinking about it from the wrong end. You need to think about it from the PR and the consumer end. This is something that they say in the keynotes. This is something that's shown as a feature bullet point on the web page. And when you buy an iPhone and the employees are talking to you about features, one of the bullet points that they have to mention is, oh, and it has this tamper-proof feature if someone tries to swap out parts.
I think it's a low stickiness factor. I don't think people would remember that. They just want to get on with their phone. And that's one of the design aspects of the phone. Apple's got this incredible technology. There's all this encryption and base code and carrier frequencies and touch IDs and all this complex technology. And what Apple's done is they've brilliantly made this device to a little candy bar where you touch a few buttons and you're talking to your friend overseas. It's a tremendous amount of technology that Apple has submerged and made easy to use, and that necessarily entails glossing over complexity so that people don't feel overwhelmed by their device.
Yeah, but there are so many things they could the device, Air 53 was set up, right? Air 53 means something. So if they can produce Air 53, they could produce a pre-update check.
Or they could put something more descriptive on the screen than Error 53 at a minimum.
That forces the user to take it into the store and say, hey, what's going on there? Or can be properly dealt with.
The fact that the phone's bricked forces them to take it into the store. It doesn't matter what they're seeing on the screen. So why not show something a little more friendly?
And why not do it before it gets bricked? And then yesterday I was saying, why not just disable Touch ID? You can no longer use Touch ID because the security has been compromised. That's
and then you just put in your password.
Force it into the 72-hour mode where you have to enter your password. Right?
I think they just you can't use Touch ID. The security of there's something wrong with Touch ID. You can't use it. You have to use your passcode all the time. If you want to fix that, bring it into the store.
Sure, if that were technically and realistically and security feasible, they would have done it.
Really?
Given the benefit of the doubt.
I see, I'm not, then that's just it. I'm not willing to give Apple. I think Apple screwed up here. I think that this is a self-inflicted wound. They're going to get sued and they're going to lose. And in England, they're definitely going to lose because UK's consumer laws favor the consumer much more than they favor the manufacturer. Apple is going to lose. They're taking a black eye on this. This is a PR hit. Everybody is just like running and screaming to jump on Apple's case here because Apple normally gets everything right. Yeah. And this is a self-inflicted wound, and that's why I'm so mad about it.
You don't think there's any sense of trying to cash in on a situation? I mean, this lawsuit. Let's calm down here. You know, I mean, somebody's thinking that boy, there's a fuss about this, and Apple's done something wrong, and there's money to be made. And when the dust settles, we'll find out in the court proceedings or later that it was all a big misunderstanding.
Well, I think Apple's going to lose. And please note that law firm, that first law firm, are you looking at the PCVA? Is that right?
PCVA.
PVCA.
They have offered to represent the class for free.
Yes. And so, yeah, and so that, know, they get, they'll get paid.
Money is there.
Well, they'll get paid if they win the lawsuit.
Oh, it's not actually for free until you.
Oh no, it's sure not. Oh, I'm certain about that.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. In that case, yeah. But this is what happens when there are people who have been wronged in some way, and I think actually people have been wronged here. I think that Apple's at fault.
I think Apple's big mistake and big fault is a lack of communication. And as far as what they could do with the devices based on how Touch ID works, there's a lot that I don't know. So I'm not comfortable saying Apple could just turn off Touch ID and then you can use your passcode and everything's still fine. I don't know if that's really the case. But I do feel I can confidently say Apple failed at communication and it's going to bite them in the butt.
Well, I just want to say one more thing about communication. That is, if you are in a hurry to explain and you jump out too early with information that's even more confusing, you just add more fuel to the fire. People tend to misunderstand your explanation, and then you have to explain your explanation, and then you have to explain the explanation of the explanation, and you can get wrapped around the axle real quick.
Yes.
And breaking people's phones with error 53 on the screen is not better.
Well, let's remember this is an incorrect repair process. Either a non-Apple certified part was used, or the reseller or the repair center did not properly repair the phone. And so, you know, if the repair center who'd made this change or repaired this sensor used Apple authorized parts and used Apple authorized procedures, there wouldn't be an issue.
True, but they can't because Apple doesn't give them the equipment they need to do this procedure.
Well, yeah, then they should turn down the repair and say take it to the Apple store.
Except for there's not always an Apple store.
Yeah, this story kind of
there is certainly some element of you have done this wrong, but I think that I'm sorry, there's an element of the consumer / third party repair place, you know, they certainly bear some responsibility for having done this in a way that is not the Apple certified way of doing it, only in that this is a security feature. This is a very important security thing, but I just I don't like the way Apple's handling it.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
And John, thank you for being here too.
Absolutely.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And I'm curious, do you think Apple screwed up here, or is Apple in the right with the way they're handling the whole Air 53 thing? Let me know. You can do that on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I'll be checking all those places. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.